Hey, that was fun, huh? Was that good? Oh my goodness, so good. Listen, I want to take just a bit of time here this morning and just share a little bit here about Christmas, obviously, here. And you heard the girl at the beginning of the play, right, as she comes up and they're talking, they bump into each other, and, you know, the little girl's asking, I mean, come on, Christmas, isn't this like a big rerun in a sense? We've all been there, haven't we? We've all heard the story. We've all gone through the motions of Christmas. It can be a repetitive thing, and we can lose sight sometimes, can't we, of what it's all about, right? But I love what they began to discover, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, isn't he not? Isn't that good? So we understand that the very things that we see at Christmas time, regardless of our situations or circumstances, the very truths that we find at Christmas have implications, they have applications for us and where we're living right now. I'm so glad for that. So glad that this message doesn't change. We go through a lot of change in our lives, don't we? We've all experienced change. Some of you have had kids up here and you see them grow up. You see them change, right? It's interesting. We have changing technology and changing fashion and changing trends. It's hard to keep up with all these things. There are things changing all around us. In fact, I don't know if you guys heard about the latest Christmas album that's climbing the charts, changing how Christmas carols are sung. Have you heard about this album? It's called All I Want for Christmas is a Goat. And it's an album of Christmas carols, traditional Christmas carols sung by goats. In fact, I got a sample for you because I know you'd want to hear it. So let's play this real quickly. And this is a real thing. I'm not kidding. Haha. Goats. Okay. We'll see if we can play that video. That's I'm not kidding around here, guys. That is the real deal. That is an album that you can buy. You can pick it up on Spotify, whatever it is. And it came out of Sweden, I think. And it is a fundraiser. But it's all these different Christmas carols sung by goats. Can you believe it? I mean, there are some things that we do not need to change. Is that correct, right? There are some things we just don't need to mess around. Some change is necessary and it's good. But I'm glad that the things that we see at Christmas time don't change. They don't need to change. And there are truths and applications for us. And so today I want to look at a few of those things as we look at timeless truths of Christmas. So if you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. I hope you have your Bibles with you. Luke chapter 2, if you don't have a Bible, just sit real close to somebody that does and just peer over their shoulder, making them very uncomfortable. Even if you don't know them, we're family here. It's all good. Luke chapter 2, let's pick it up in verse 8. I'll try to read a little slower than our angel did in the play. That guy's a speed reader. I'm going to have him come in. Can I have him come in a few times during the week and just read to me? I'll get through all my stuff a lot faster. All my research, just read it out, because, man, I'll buzz through stuff like no problem. All this time left on my hands. It'll be great. He did a good job. So look at chapter 2, verse 8. And as we look at unchanging things of Christmas, I want to look at, first of all, if you're taking notes, I hope you are, but I want to look at unchanging joy. Look at what we read here, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says there, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" Imagine these shepherds, they're out in the field, they're just minding their own business. Suddenly this cosmic force, this angelic being appears to them. And we know how they reacted to that. It says they were greatly afraid. These guys are freaking out. I mean, you saw the angel had a bit of an attitude today. I mean, I'd be pretty afraid too, right? But this angel speaks to them. Guys, don't be afraid. He's like, "Man up, you shepherds, come on, get it together." Didn't quite say it like that. But he says, "Do not be afraid." Why? Because the angel says, I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy. You see, the angel wanted to bring some good news to these shepherds. This was a game changer, you see, this message that this angel was bringing to them. It was a game changer that was going to rock their lives, but not just their lives, many more. You see, this message was really all about grace. This good news was all about grace. You see, the angel said specifically that this was good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. How many people love joy? Anybody know a person named Joy? Because that can go either way then. But I love joy. I love having joy. I love experiencing joy. I love being around people that are joyful. Joy is a great thing. It's great to experience joy. Listen, the reality is there are a lot of people in our world that aren't experiencing joy. They don't witness joy around them. They don't feel joy within them. And the great thing about joy, you see, is it's not dependent upon your circumstances. Happiness can do that. We can be happy one day, sad the next day. But the joy that the Lord wants to give you is not dependent upon your circumstances, your situations. It is something that is an ongoing experience. Why? Because it's joy from the Lord. And let me explain something to you here. When this angel says good tidings of great joy, he uses this word in the Greek, chara, which means this idea of cheerfulness and delight. But that Greek word chara is the root word for charis, another Greek word, which is translated grace. Grace. See, this was great joy that these guys were going to experience, but it was wrapped around essentially this grace that God wanted to give them. This good news being announced was so good because it wasn't something that was dependent upon these shepherds or anybody else. This was not good news because they were good. This is good news because of God's goodness being extended to them, you see. And I love this because it's not just for them. This is good news that relates to us today as we talk about timeless truths of Christmas. As we talk about unchanging joy, this is something that's available for all. Notice what we read at the end of verse 10 again. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to who? All people. Say that with me, guys. All people. Do you fit in that category? Do you guys fit in that category of all people? In other words, this is good news of great joy, grace wrapped up in that, that's extended to all of you. Timeless truths of Christmas. You see, God sent his son into the world to do a work for you that we couldn't do in and of ourselves. Jesus came to live a life that was perfect and sinless, that he could be the one that bridges the gap between us and God that was separated because of sin. And this is extended to all people. This is not dependent. This is not just for the good people. It's not just for the elite, for high officials or dignitaries. This announcement came to shepherds. These were kind of like the low people, the low class here. Low man on the totem pole were the shepherds. And this is who the announcement comes to. It's extended to all people. There's nobody excluded, nobody left out. Nothing you have to do to earn this. It's a free gift. It's the greatest gift of all. It's the grace of God extended to you. And it's because of the grace of God that we get to know and experience that allows us to walk in joy every day. Isn't that good? It doesn't matter if I'm out driving on a flat tire and I have to go change it and the rain's coming down. I don't have to let that annoy me or distract me or bum me out. Oh, I'm not going to enjoy that, no doubt about it. But my joy in the Lord doesn't change because I'm still doing that as a child of God. I'm still changing my tire in the rain, realizing that God loves me. I'm his child. I'm going to heaven. That's grace that allows us to experience unchanging joy, guys. Isn't that good? So unchanging joy, we also see unchanging promises as we look at this Christmas story. Let's read on here in Luke 2, verse 11. It says, for there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. Notice what that angel says there. The angel announces to these shepherds, this day, this very specific day is born to you a Savior. And the angel is clear to say that it's in the city of David. That's important because, you see, that was prophesied some 750 years earlier. Micah the prophet prophesied in Micah 5 verse 2 saying, but you Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me one to be ruler in Israel. The one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Micah, 750 years before this event that we're reading in Luke 2, Micah says, hey, Bethlehem, head up, man. Though you're small, you might feel insignificant. Hey, guess what? Out of you is going to come the ruler of all, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. And you see, what does this angel say this day? In the city of David. What's the city of David? Bethlehem. There in that place, this is when God's word comes to fruition. Understand that with the Christmas story, we're reminded of the unchanging promises of God, that his word doesn't fail, that everything that God has promised, everything he says is going to come to fruition. God made clear exactly where the son would be born. And not only that, Moses wrote 1,500 years before the birth of Christ that the Christ would be a descendant of Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. Isaiah wrote 720 years before the birth of Christ that the Christ would be a royal son of David. Isaiah chapter 9. And Isaiah also wrote that that this Christ would be born of a virgin and that his name would be Emmanuel. It's exactly what we see in Isaiah 7. Matthew chapter 1 verse 23 records that. You see, everything that the Lord has promised is coming to fruition. What does that tell us? That God is a God who keeps his word. He holds his promises. They never fail. Guys, there's over 300 prophecies in the Bible regarding Jesus Christ. And he's fulfilled those perfectly. It's astronomical odds that even one person would fulfill just even 8 of those 300. And yet Jesus has fulfilled them all. 100% accuracy rating is what he's holding and carrying. That's awesome. And the angel also says that this child born is Christ the Lord. What does Christ mean? Anointed one. It's in the Hebrew, it's Messiah. And understand that all of Israel was awaiting their Messiah. God had foretold that in their word. They're waiting this Messiah to come. But yet look at the circumstances that's going on right now while this is all happening, because Rome is in power. Israel now are subjects to Rome. They're seeing this heavy hand of Rome. In fact, this is why Joseph had to come into Bethlehem for the census. It was to register for taxation that they had to pay to Rome now. So they're feeling this oppression of Rome. And perhaps they're thinking, our Messiah, the one that would come and deliver us, the one that's going to come and set us free, doesn't seem like it's happening. Maybe God's gone back on his word. Maybe God's not going to bring that to be like he said. Maybe God's forsaken us. The situations and circumstances certainly could have spelled that out for them. But notice that it's right in the midst of this darkness, this heavy oppression. What happens? That God says, boom, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for. This is what you've been waiting for. This is the time now that my Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, is going to come just as I've said he's going to come. Guys, that brings great hope to us, because it's the same in our lives where we might be experiencing the darkest of days, thinking that God's left us, God's forsaken us. And it's in those times that God wants to remind us that we have hope in him, that he will never fail us, he will never let us down, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And it's oftentimes that it's in the midst of trial, tragedy, and difficulty that God wants to reveal himself and do his work. Sometimes he has to have those things happen for his work to come to be. What does that remind us or tell us? That we need to continue to hold on to Jesus. And continue to hold on to the Lord. Because if he brought you to it, He's going to bring you through it. You can count on that, guys. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to fail you. This Christmas story reminds us of his unchanging promises that he is good. Keep trusting him, even when circumstances seem otherwise. That was the state for Joseph and Mary. I'd say for all of Israel at this time. And yet here's when the Christ, the Lord, comes in glory and in brightness and in his light shining forth in the darkness. Lastly, we've seen unchanging joy, unchanging promises. Let's look at that unchanging purpose. And we're going to turn over to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And let's pick it up in verse 18 if you have your Bibles there. Matthew 1 verse 18. Now, it says the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And just catch your attention on this verse, 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Unchanging purpose. How so? What does this connect to that here in these verses? Listen, of all the names that could have been given to Jesus, and we've seen different names attributed to him. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, you know, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. But yet, to Joseph, says, and you're going to call his name Jesus. It's a very common name at that time. Oftentimes, parents would give the father's name to their sons, you know, and pass it down. But here it's Joseph, sorry, you're out on this one. His name's going to be Jesus. And names oftentimes spoke of the person's character. Sometimes God would change people's names to reveal kind of who they were in him. Saul becomes Paul. Different things like that have happened. My name, Brent, means high places. They missed that mark real big time when they gave me that name. It has no connection to anything about me at all. But oftentimes names have a real parallel to that person. And such is the case with Jesus. Because what does Jesus mean? Jehovah is salvation. God is salvation. In other words, salvation is of the Lord. Joseph, you're going to call your boy Jesus because he will save people from their sins. He's going to provide salvation. Remember when Moses was leading the Israelites through the wilderness, and Moses was going to be the guy that was going to bring them in the promised land. He's the leader. Yet Moses misrepresented the Lord before the people. And God says, Moses, you're not going to enter in the promised land. I'm going to raise up a successor, Joshua. Joshua, the Hebrew name of Jesus, the Lord our salvation. See, Moses represented the law, and I think this is very fitting. Moses represents the law. And yet Joshua is the one that's going to lead them into the promised land, into the fullness of what the Lord has for them. Understand the connection here, because there's a lot of people today thinking that I'm going to be okay with God. I'm going to walk in the fullness of what God has for me by my works, by my observing the law, by my upholding my list of do's and don'ts. Oh, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. Oh, I'm going to heaven because I, you know, read the Bible. I go to church. That's why I'm connected to God. But understand, Moses representing the law could not bring the people into the fullness of God, into the promised land, because the law can only bring you so far. Paul writes in Galatians that that law was like a tutor, leading us to who? Christ. It's Christ. It's Jesus. And only Jesus that's able to save us of our sin and to bring us into the fullness of what God has for us into life in him. Because Jesus provided the forgiveness of sin. Like I said earlier, it was our sin that cut us off from God. It was our sin that brought a wedge in that relationship that God has desired with us from the very beginning of time. Sin ruined that. But Jesus came to show that salvation and relationship to God was found in him. His name will be Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. I like that. It's an unchanging purpose because it's what he continues to do today. He came in that first Christmas to shine his light in the darkness, to reveal this perfect child that would grow up like us, grow up among us, but grow up to be that sacrifice for us. And by him dying on a cross, what did he do? He took upon himself the sin of the world. And God judged that sin on Christ. It was there on the cross that Jesus experienced separation from God for the first time. That's why he says from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was there that he experienced that separation from God because of the sin he was carrying on behalf of the world and allowing God to judge him in our place, so that we would not have to go through the judgment of God. Jesus came to provide that for us. He continues today to provide salvation for us. And I hope you are sitting here today understanding the work of Jesus Christ. Understanding that we celebrate at Christmas time more than just a 2,000-year-old story where some of us go, that was for then, but we're living in a different time now. No, I hope you're understanding and realizing that there are timeless truths for us to discover at Christmas time that have implication and application for us right here today. Because we see unchanging joy, unchanging promises of God, unchanging purpose in his son being the provider for us, to bring us to God, to forgive us of our sin, and to give us life in him. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way, guys. He's not just a little baby that came and lived and that's it. Well, we don't know what happened to him. He is alive today. And he's taking care of your sin. But what we need to do is acknowledge our sin. And put our trust in Jesus. Recognize, Lord, yes, I'm a sinner. I am guilty before you. And we're all guilty. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us needs that. But the Bible says that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. When you recognize your sin and you come to the Lord in repentance, and that's a big word that we use in churches, but that word simply means that we're changing direction. We're changing our mind. We're recognizing I'm not good in and of myself. I'm going the wrong way. I need to change my mind about this thing. I need to change direction. I need to change from going my way and go the Lord's way. I need to put on Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm nothing without you. I'm lost without you. I'm a sinner apart from you. Jesus, come and forgive me of my sin and bring me in a right relationship with God. And when we pray that, when we say that in our heart, he does that. Isn't that good? And then you get to go back to point one and realize, man, I get unchanging joy. I get unending joy. I get to experience the grace of God that's forgiven me despite my sinfulness. There's nothing more joyful than that. There's not a greater present than that right there. And you get to experience the promises of God, the purposes of God, even for your life specifically. Let's pray. And worship team, if you're still around, we're going to have you guys come up and we're going to end with a song here today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and this great play that these kids put on for us here this morning, reminding us that this is not a Christmas story that is unrelatable for us today. This has application for us today because you, Jesus, are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I pray that we would just apply these truths to our lives and be reminded of the great work you've done for us. I pray for those today that may not know you personally as their Lord and Savior. Maybe they've been living with this idea that they're a Christian because they've been brought up in church, but maybe they've never made that commitment to you. Maybe they've never said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you to forgive me. If you're here today, and I'm speaking to you, if you're here in that situation and you've never given your life to Jesus in the way that you've acknowledged your sin and said, Jesus, you need to forgive me. If you're here today and you want to make that decision and commitment to Jesus, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. It's really between you and God, and he sees and he knows your heart. If you're here today and you say, I want to experience life and joy in Jesus. I want to experience the forgiveness of sin. Would you raise your hand? Because he wants to meet you here today. He wants to do that work in your life this morning. He loves you, and he's extended grace to you. It's not about what you can do. It's about what he's done for you. I'll give you one more opportunity. Lord, we thank you for these people here and for this time together to celebrate you and to worship you. We pray you'll continue to go with us and strengthen us, Lord. This Christmas season, may we keep it about you, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together.